this service so far this morning. So thank you for the choir, and I'm thankful that I get to be part of that. But thank you for all the parts of that, and it's been great to be here already today. Well, it is wonderful to be here on Father's Day this morning, and hopefully you fathers have already been recognized by your families. If you haven't been, then I don't know what to tell you. They should have gotten to it at least a little bit so far today, but it's a wonderful day to be here today. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 18. Genesis 18 is where we'll be this morning. But I want to, as you turn there, I want to thank all the fathers who are in this room today just for being that. Thank you for being a dad. Thank you for taking the time and making the sacrifices that you have made for your families. And I'm sure that they have been many. Being a father is one of the greatest privileges that a man can have. And it's also one of the greatest responsibilities that a man can have as well. One man said that he loved Father's Day because it was the one day of the entire year where his family gave him 100% obedience. Because before Father's Day, he would always tell them not to spend much money on him, and they never did. So hopefully that's not your story for Father's Day today, and you enjoy your time with your family as you go throughout it today. Let's read in our Bibles, and I'll say some more thoughts as we go along this theme this morning. But I'd invite you at this time, if you would, if you're in Genesis chapter 18, to stand to your feet out of respect for the Word of God. And we'll begin reading in verse number 16, and we'll read down through verse number 22 this morning. The Bible says in Genesis 18, verse 16, "And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now, and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come up unto me. And if not, I will know." If God made that statement at the beginning of verse number 19 about you or about me, I wonder what he would say after he said it. I'll call your attention back to that phrase where God said, "For I know him." Men, today I want to preach to you a message entitled, "A Man God Can Trust." And this is something I believe can help all of us, but I will primarily be applying the message to men this morning, and I'll say more about that along the way. But let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts. Father, thank you for the day you've given to us. Thank you for the music. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for your word. God, I pray for your blessings on this time that we have together. Lord, I pray that you'd use it in our church. God, I ask for your help. Fill me with your spirit. Lord, speak to us this morning as you've spoke to me in the study. Lord, I pray you'd bless our church. Thank you for all that you are doing and all that you desire to do. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Admiral Halsey was a famous admiral in World War II, and he was once ordered to delay or stall the Japanese Navy for 24 hours. The enemy had battleships, had aircraft carriers and destroyers, and all the admiral had was just some small ships. Yet he understood the importance of the difficult position that he was in and that the American Navy was in, and so he also understood the major negative consequences of failure in the mission that he had been given. And so he deployed his men, and they took their stand, and they fought a valiant battle. And after the dust settled, Admiral Halsey had not just delayed the Japanese Navy for 24 hours. He had successfully managed to delay or stall their Navy for almost 36 hours. This battle would have cost the American forces a great many lives as well as strategic positions, and would have been a catastrophic loss had our Navy lost that battle. But because of his stand and the stand of the men with him, there was great success. But unfortunately, in this battle, more senior naval officers were killed in this one battle than would be killed in the remaining days of World War II. Many of these officers were friends and classmates of the admiral, and it broke his heart that so many of his close friends had died. One of his soldiers, seeking to comfort him after the battle, as he shed a few tears for the lives that had been lost, looked at him and said, "Sir, they were all great men." To which Admiral Halsey replied, "There are no great men. There are only ordinary people who take on extraordinary challenges." And men, this morning, we recognize the fact that really, in reality, every one of us is just an ordinary guy. But we have been called to the extraordinary challenge of fatherhood or of biblical manhood. I realize not everybody in this room this morning that is a man is a father, but I challenge you as we look into this passage of Scripture to understand that really what we find here is not just an admonition for a father in per se, but for a man in general. Because the reality is, because of Abraham's life that we're about to look at, he became what is he became, as God refers to him, as the father of all them that believe. And so I say to you this morning, you do not have to be a physical father to stand as a father in the Bible should. But let me tell you this morning, it is absolutely essential that the men of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church learn to understand the importance of their role. Plato, the Greek philosopher, said, "The saga of a nation is the saga of its families written large." And I would add to his statement that the saga of a family, or the tale or story of a family, is the tale or story of the man who leads it. And this morning, if Satan wanted to neutralize your family and destroy the good that it could do, he would start with you. It is so important on Father's Day today, while we will recognize and honor all those who stand and live as fathers, that we stop and take just a moment to remember what a father is meant to do. I'm so grateful that today I can stand here in this pulpit and I can preach to you as a father. It's one of the greatest privileges that I've ever been given, to have two sons that would call me father or would call me dad. But I also understand something this morning, that the place that I stand in today is a place of great and significant importance in the lives of my children, in the lives of those that I will influence. And I hope that this morning I can help you just to take a step back and realize that while you may be called father today and you may be thanked today for all that you've done, I want you to remember the fact that all of us have a place to stand in that must make us beware, lest we think because on Father's Day our families tell us thank you, that we are actually doing everything as a man that we should do. And if we want to respond appropriately to all that we're seeing go on in our church, and I'm thankful to Brother Farmer and Brother Marty and all of our deacons for all that they're doing and trying to help us through this season, and I want to go on record and say thank you. Thank you for the statements made this morning. Thank you for the heart that you guys have demonstrated through this season, and the help that you've been to me personally as we've been doing the work of the ministry here in these days. But if we are actually going to see God do the work through Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, so like Brother Farmer said, 15 years from now, people can look back and look back favorably on what happened in these days, it rests upon the shoulders of the men who are assembled in this room today. And that's what we find as being brought out for us in Genesis chapter number 18 this morning. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture. And I jumped right into it, kind of in the middle of the story because of the time that we need to take, and so I can emphasize the things that I need to. But let me just catch you up to speed here real quick. In this passage of Scripture, we find an amazing moment. It really, if you think about it, and I'll tell you what happened here in just a second, it's really quite astounding all that happened. But at the beginning of chapter number 18, we find God coming down from heaven. He comes with two angels, and they are introduced to us as three men on a journey. Abraham was in his tent, and he saw these three men. And when he saw them, as any good man would do in that day, he ran to them and he invited them into his house. And it became apparent through their visit that they were there with him that these men were no ordinary men. But as a matter of fact, one of them was the Lord and two of them were his angels. And as I contemplated the story, it's really quite amazing because there was no reason for this visit except God wanted to make the statements that we read this morning. You see, God was on a mission to go and search out the city of Sodom. He wanted to go and actually be right there in a physical presence to see the wickedness of the place before he sent down fire from heaven to destroy the cities of the plain. And the reality is, God could have just made himself materialize right outside the gate. There was no reason that God and two of his angels ever should have walked by the tent of Abraham. But God knew something about Abraham, and that's why we're looking at this passage of Scripture this morning. God realized that Abraham was a man, that if he would show something special to him, if he would bring Abraham along in what he was doing, he knew that because of the nature of the man that Abraham was, that those truths and that fact would be passed on to all that he would influence. And so the simple fact of the matter is, God did this because he trusted Abraham to be a man who would make a difference. God brought himself down to this earth and he intersected himself with Abraham at this one moment because he wanted to make a difference in this world. And he knew that if he showed Abraham, then all the work would get done. Men, I want to ask you a question this morning. If God wanted to make a difference in this church, would he trust you? Would he trust me? If God wanted to send a revival, could he come to your door? If God wanted to work in this state, would he start at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? If God wanted to do a work, could he look at you to do it? Because he could look at Abraham, and that's what he shows us this morning. And so this morning, I just want to show you some characteristics of the life of Abraham that make him a man that God can trust. And if these things are in our lives as men, then we will be the type of men that when God wants to work, we will be on the list of people that he knows he can manifest himself to so that that work can be accomplished. So number one, the first thing we learn about Abraham and the first thing we learn about a man that God can trust is that God can trust him if he has a testimony of faith. There is no doubt that there is one thing about Abraham that should make him stand out above all other things. The reality is, if you look at Abraham just in general, Abraham is a man that stands out like a mountain on the landscape of history. There have been few men who have made as significant impact as Abraham made, and it all started with this idea of his faith in God. If you look in the book of Hebrews, all that is lifted up of Abraham in chapter number 11 is the faith that he had that led him through the journeys of his life. It's amazing to consider what faith did in his life. The record of the Bible up until this point had been, racing along at such a rapid pace that the first 11 chapters of the Bible cover some 2,000 years. In the next 13 chapters of the book of Genesis, God slows down the pace, and in 13 chapters, he covers 100 years. So he could stop and focus our attention on one man. This one man named Abraham, this one man who lived a life of faith. And we can understand his faith if we look at the events that helped to show his faith to us. And so the first thing I want to remind you about is this. Abraham was a man that believed God when it was not normal. You see, Abraham was a man from the land of Ur, the Chaldees. The Bible says that God came to Abraham when he was in Ur. In Genesis chapter 12, it says in verse number 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." God came to Abraham in Ur. Now, we learn about Ur from other places in the Bible that it existed, and that's where he was from. But we learn a little bit more about the place called Ur from the study of archaeology, as we have uncovered the city, and we know that the place of Ur was a place that was a city that was magnificent in its proportions. It was great in its wealth. It was a very developed city. Abraham was from a place of great wealth. He was very likely a man who was acquainted with all the culture and wealth of his day. But one day, God looked into his heart and he saw something in that man that said to him, if I want to do something, I can trust him. And so God came to him and he spoke to him and he told him to get up out of the country and to go to a new place. And so Abraham, before in his life, a heathen man, heard God speak. And in one moment, he trusted in God. He probably didn't know one other person who believed in the God who spoke to him. Not one. The Bible says in the book of Joshua that on the other side of the flood, before the fathers of the children of Israel, the man named Terah, which was Abraham's father, and others who were listed were men who followed after idols. Abraham was a man from a heathen society, a man who was very well acquainted with the comforts of this life, and yet God appeared to him or came to him or spoke to his heart, and he said, Abraham, I want you to move your family. I want you to get up. I want you to go. I know no one else is doing it. I know it's not normal, but I want you to follow me. And let me tell you something, men, if we are going to see God at work in Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, if God is going to work in your home, if God is going to step into that situation, you might have to do something that's a little bit abnormal. You might have to realize that, hey, I know that the people at my work may not look at me that way, the same way again. I know that my family may not really expect me to go home after this message and actually make some changes, but I'm going to step out and I'm going to do something that's a little bit abnormal, because it's when we step out and we become a little bit abnormal for God that God can work in our lives. But not only did he believe God when it wasn't normal, he believed God when it was impossible. You see, Abraham was also the recipient not just of a command to leave, but a promise to claim. You see, Abraham was 75 years old when he was there in Genesis chapter number 12. And at that point, he had no children. And in that same promise, in that same call to leave the land, God told him, I will give you a seed. I will give you nations from your life. You will be the father of nations. He said, you will be the progenitor, the beginning of a nation, and nations shall be blessed through you. A great many people will come. And the promise is reiterated in chapter number 15 of the book of Genesis, when Abraham was kind of having a little bit of a season of doubt, and God brought him out and he said, hey, I want you to go out of your tent. It was obviously night, and he went out of his tent. He said, I want you to look up and I want you to see the stars. I want you to try to number the stars, because that's the number of children that will come to you. And yet, even at that point, Abraham still had no children. And the Bible says that in that moment, he believed the Lord, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 4, as God continued to encourage him with that promise, that in verse number 20 of Romans chapter 4, that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that which he had promised, he was also able to perform. And so when you come up against an impossible circumstance, man, in your home, I want to challenge you with something. Look to the faith of Abraham, who though his life in essence was dead, and there was no way he could ever have a son. He was 99 years old when the word finally came that a son was going to be born to him. The son of promise was going to be born to him. And he came to that moment. He believed in God, and God did what was actually impossible. There's a lot of things that I've faced in life that I thought were impossible. They were none as impossible as that. And yet God overcame them because Abraham believed. Amen. You might be facing something at your home or in your home or at your work or in your life or something may be going on. There's some things going on in our church that they may be impossible to a certain extent, but nothing is impossible with our God. And if God is going to work through us, if God is going to do the work through men that he desires to do, we must be men of faith. We must believe God so that God can begin to set the stage. And that's really all that began to happen. When Abraham stepped out by faith, the stage began to be set, and God began to prepare and set things in motion that were going to change the world. But he had to believe. A man that God can trust is a man with a testimony of faith. He's also a man with character in his life. Well, Abraham's faith is always on display and can really be traced back to as the source of all that he did. There's another aspect of this man that is worthy of our note that is no doubt something that was in the mind of God when he made that statement, "I know him." And that is the fact that he was a man of unshakable character. The character is that commitment that a man will be and will do that which is right regardless of the circumstances. And Abraham demonstrates for you and for me that he was definitely a man that was a man of character. As he lived his life in such a way that though he may have made mistakes, and I'm sure that as I'm sharing this, if you know the story of Abraham, you're thinking, hey, yeah, there's some mistakes that he made or whatever the case may be. I know he made mistakes, but all throughout his life, even in the midst of his mistakes, Abraham decided to behave in a way that was what a man of character would do. And I want to challenge you men today to rise up to the challenge to be a man of character. It's not easy at times to make the right decision, to take the right stand, to live in the right way, to lead your home, to love your wife when those people at work are making fun of you, to do all the things that God would ask you to do in this church or in your life, to step out in a way that may make you the enemy of some simply because you're doing what's right. But let me challenge you today to be a man of character, to live after the example of Abraham. We see in Abraham's life that, number one, his character is demonstrated in the fact that he was a man of intimacy. You may say, what does that mean? Well, Abraham had one thing in his life that he would never let go, and that was his God. You know, a man of character will make his walk with God his priority. See, Abraham walked away from his family, his friends, his finances, everything that you could imagine that he could walk away from. He became a shepherd. He became a wanderer, a pilgrim. He was promised land that he never received. But he just kept doing what was right. Why? Because at the center of his life was one unmovable thing: God. He realized that if he was going to be a man who did the right thing, he had to live his life in passionate pursuit of God. You know how I know he was a man of intimacy with God? Every time you see Abraham in these verses, in these passages, number one, God's appearance never surprises him. And nothing God ever said seemed to shake him. You know why? Because it was normal. The Bible refers to Abraham as the friend of God. He was a man who walked and talked with God, who a relationship with him was normal because it was central. He was a man who would take his eyes off of God for no thing. He was a man who lived a life of intimacy. He walked with God. He worshiped God. Everywhere we see Abraham go that he should have gone, we find him stopping to take the time to build an altar, to worship God. He was a man who put God at the center of his life. He was a man of intimacy. He was a man of integrity. He did what was right. He lived his life in every situation that he could have done. He tried to do what was right. And the fact is, if he didn't, he made it right. He was a man that put others before himself. You think about the story of Abraham and Lot. And Lot, in Genesis chapter 13, their herdsmen were fighting and quarreling one with another. And Abraham, the man of seniority, the man who had more than his nephew, looked at his nephew and he said, "Hey, Lot, you pick where you want to go, and I'll just go the other way." He was a man who put others before himself. He was a man who tried to keep his word. The Bible says that he went to war, and I'll say something about that in just a second, to help his nephew at one moment. And after the war was over, after the dust settled from that battle, the king of Sodom looked at him and said, "Hey, you can take whatever you want. Just give us our lives back." And Abraham looked and he said, "Far be it from me to take anything from you, because I have lifted up my hand to God." And basically he was saying, "I have made a vow to God to take nothing from you, and I will take nothing. I will keep my word. He could have taken anything he wanted from them. They were willing to offer it. It wouldn't have been a problem, but to him, his word was his bond. Man, we need to get back to the day when we say something, people know that is exactly what is going to happen. And that's a challenge, and we'll all make mistakes. We all make promises. We all say we're going to do something or be somewhere, and we forget, or we fall a little bit short. But I want to remind you today that a man of character is a man who keeps his word. He's a man that does right. He's a man that put others first. He's a man that corrects his mistakes. He is a man. He's a man. Because that's what a man is supposed to be. That's what we need. That's what God is looking for. He was a man of intimacy. He was a man of integrity. And he was a man of initiative. As we find Abraham living his life, you know an amazing thing about him? He always does what he's supposed to do, and he does it quickly. It didn't really matter the challenge that it presented. He obeyed God immediately. One instance is one that was recorded in the chapter before, chapter 18. God comes to Abraham and gives him the covenant of circumcision when he's 99 years old. And the Bible says that he immediately had, by the end of the day, his entire family and his entire household circumcised. He obeyed God immediately. He went to war so that he could help men and women who had been taken captive in a battle so that they could be brought back. He got his servants together that he had taken care to train, 318 men, and they rose up against an army that had just taken a city. And they went, and the Bible says that they recovered all. Let me tell you something. If you're going to do that, you're a man of initiative. If you're going to take 318 people, and you're going to put an army on the run, and you're going to recover your nephew and his children and his goods and the goods of an entire city, he was a man who was not afraid. He was a man who was courageous. He was a man who stepped out when someone needed to step out. He was a man who minimized growing problems. That's what he did in chapter 13 that I mentioned a minute ago. When he saw something that needed to be done, men, he didn't just turn the other way and hope it would go away. There's too many times that men just look the other way in their homes. When they see something going on in the life of their child, and they should go to them. They think, "Oh, well, they're just a kid." No, they're a sinner. And if you don't step up for them, the devil will step into them. And he will steal their life from you. and then something's going on at your work, and you know it's not right, and you just kind of turn the other way, you lose your testimony, you lose your opportunity to see God work. You need to be, and I need to be, a man who will take a step out and say, hey, when something needs to be done, God can trust me to rise to the challenge. He was a man of character. And the final thing I want to tell you about today is this. He was a man, or a man that God can trust, is a man who is committed to the truth. And that's what gets us to verse number 19. As we read this verse again, I want to just pull out a couple thoughts, and we'll come in for a close here in just a few minutes. He says this, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." This is what God says about Abraham. He says, "I know Abraham will lead his home. I know that if I tell Abraham what I'm about to do, he is going to take the lead in his home. He is going to take what he knows about me, and he's going to communicate that to those who are around him." He was a leader in his home. And man, I just mentioned something about that a second ago, so I really won't belabor the point, but I want to remind you about this. God appointed you as the leader. God expects men to rise up and to be the ones who invest intentionally in all the things that should be invested intentionally in. There's too many men who take a back seat to the spiritual leadership of their home, and they allow their wife, or they allow their church to try to bring that influence. But men, you will never see God at work in your home until you realize that if your home is going to experience the revival that it could and the presence of God that God desires to bring into it, it behooves you, it is necessary that you as a man be the type of man that God would say, hey, I know him. I know that he's the one. If I want truth to be brought to those children, I need to tell Abraham. I need to tell Daniel. If I want somebody to know something, Daniel's the one I'm going to tell. That's the way that I should process this information. And if we as a church are going to see God at work, we must say, men, God, I will do my job. I will lead my home. I will be a man. He was a man who would lead his family. And he was a man who would leave a legacy. That him and his household after him. It's amazing. This one man changed the world. Because he was committed to the truth. Not just for his life, but for every person that would follow. So he invested it. He gave it out. He made sure everybody around him knew. He told him about, hey, this is what God has done. This is what God is doing. And so when Isaac came on the scene, Isaac learned the story. Isaac knew his God. Isaac knew that his dad believed in God, and he knew the God that his dad believed. And there's no doubt that all of Abraham's descendants have not been perfect, but they had not escaped the legacy that he left behind. And that's exactly what you and I want. We must begin to prepare to leave that behind even today. It's not enough to say, well, when I get close to the end, that I'll focus on making sure I have a legacy to leave. Today we ought to determine, hey, it's the 200, and I don't know what it is, the 49, the 40th anniversary or birthday of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and when it's the 500th birthday of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, if God has not come back, I want them to read another book that another preacher writes that tells about the struggles of our day, but says, hey, this man and these people, they rose to the challenge, and they would not quit, and God blessed them, or maybe maybe just in your family, you can write a book like Brother Jack Moser wrote about his life, and to thank God for men who have left legacies and said, hey, this is what God has done in our family, and this is what God has continued to do, and I am leaving this behind so that those who come after me can say, hey, there was a man back there that one time he believed God, and one time he saw God work, and because he saw God work, we can see God work today. That's what God can do. But he's looking for a man he can trust. I want to be that type of man. And there's no doubt in my mind that I can't do it without him. So as we close this morning, I'd invite you to close your eyes and bow your heads. And have the pianist make her way to the piano. And as soon as Brother Seaman lets them know the song to play, that they might begin to play. And I know that I've preached to men today, and I know that fatherhood can be a touchy subject. Not everyone gets to be a father. Not everyone gets to have a father. But every one of us can stop and say, I'm thankful that ultimately God is my father. And I can look at God for leadership and example, no matter what has happened in my life. But men, I've preached to you today because I know that if God wants to do something here, it's got to start with us. And so I have a very simple invitation for you this morning. Number one, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never put your faith in him like Abraham did to follow God, do that today. When the invitation begins, if you don't know that you're on your way to heaven, everybody will stand, our eyes will be closed, our heads will be bowed, the music will be playing. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you come. Come, and we'll talk to you about just what that means and how to do that. But men, today would be a great day to rededicate yourself to being a man of God, a man God can use. So I challenge you to come and kneel at this altar and say, God, I want to be a man of faith. I want to be a man of character. I want to be a man committed to the truth for my day and for every day that follows. Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I'm going to pray, and as soon as I say amen, the music will play, the song will begin, and as soon as I say amen, leave your seat. God is working in your heart, and come. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this message, the challenge it's been to me. Lord, I pray you'd bless the day. I pray you'd bless our church. I pray you'd bless our men. Lord, if you're going to do a work through us, we have to be the men that you desire for us to be. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You come, men, as the music is playing.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Offer yourself as a man that God can use. A man that God can trust. You don't have to be a father to come. If you're a young man and you heard this message this morning and you say, you know what? I'd like to be like that one day. Come. Ask God to help you. God is speaking to your heart. To rise up, to be a man.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord. Wash me just now.
Home today, I sure hope, man, even if
you don't come forward, and you don't have to come forward. That you'll make some decisions in your life.
Surely is
that your family will know. That your God will know. That if God wants to reach the world, all he has to do is knock on your heart's door, and he'll be there for you to give you what you need. Thank you for listening so well today, and I appreciate you being here this morning. It's a great day, and I hope that as the day continues, your family takes time just to recognize fathers. Thank you, men, for listening. I know I beat you up this morning. The Lord wants to work through our church. And thank you for listening so well. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed if we're all done with everything else this morning. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, I pray you'd bless us as we go. Lord, use our church, work in our men, do a great work that only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here. You are dismissed.